This podcast is protected by copyright and not for broadcast. See rsn.net.au for more details.
Good morning, everyone. Lovely to have you company for Talking Horses. On this week's show, we catch up with Neville Murdoch from Larnook Stud. Their stallion, O'Lonro, produced a couple of very handy winners on the track in Victoria this week. Adam Sangster from Swettenham Stud will also link in with us on the show this week to talk about the arrival of Toronado, who's had plenty of winners in the Northern Hemisphere of late, and there's good raps on his stock here in Australia. Plus, Swettenham have got their open day coming up on the 19th of August. Looking forward to that. Also, a story with a bit of sadness, but a happy ending, and it involves a stallion by the name of Al Samer, who's made his way to very safe hands at Glen Eden Stud here in Victoria. More on that later on the program with the owner of Glen Eden, Sonia O'Gorman. It's a great story, but it's also one that highlights the need for focus on stallion welfare. We'll also catch up with Tom Riley from Thoroughbred Breeders Australia. The CEO delivered some good news this week in relation to traineeships for the breeding industry here in Australia. He's our first guest on the program this morning. 15 trainees will start new careers at stud farms across Australia next week, thanks to Thoroughbred Breeders Australia's new fast-track training program. The CEO of Thoroughbred Breeders Australia, Tom Riley, joins us on the show this morning to discuss all of this further. How are you, Tom?
Yeah, very well, thank you, yeah.
Good. So it's been a busy few weeks then with the group spending some time at the Scone TAFE.
That's right, yeah. As part of the program, they kick off the program with 3 weeks at Scone TAFE, which gives everyone a chance to assess their horse handling skills and make sure that they're up to the standard to go off to a stud farm and work within a team.
So how long has the concept been in the offing for, Tom?
Look, we've been working with the government essentially to create a Certificate 3 in horse breeding. That course was only just signed off right at the end of last year. There's been quite a process for TAFE to be able to teach it. So once we got the go-ahead that it was going to become a nationally recognised qualification, we pushed very hard to get it up and running this year.
This will have enormously positive flow-on effects to employment in the breeding industry in Australia, won't it?
Look, I think staffing is an issue. You know, it's a huge issue across, you know, breeding and obviously in racing as well. You know, we surveyed breeders last year, and it was one of the issues that they felt was the most important, and that's why really the TBA has gone out of its way to really try and create this pathway for people that you know, have an interest in horses, but maybe don't even know that there's an industry out there that they can be a part of.
And it's interesting, there's been a vast array of people in the first intake, including a beautician who's seeking a career change, a uni student who's deferred his studies at Melbourne Uni, a qualified chef, and the former owner of a Potts Point sports shop. So it's quite a mix of people who've decided to try their luck in employment in thoroughbred breeding.
Yeah, look, it is you know, there, as you say, there is a diverse group. I think the one thing that sort of unites them all is, you know, a love of the horse. And when we were looking at how we would sort of market this course or this program, it was really about trying to find people who had a connection with the horse and people who we felt had that passion and we hoped that that's what will keep them in the industry long term. So, yes, a couple of them have come from sort of different backgrounds, as you mentioned, but they all have that. And I think that's really terribly important. And a couple of them are very much also focused on, you know, follow the racing very closely, follow the pedigrees very closely. And there are some that, you know, really had little idea about, you know, about the breeding industry beforehand, but really had that passion for horses. So, a diverse background, but I think one really important thing that unites them.
Almost 130 people applied for this year's program, with the successful candidates having to undertake two rounds of interviews before being accepted. Now, 13 farms have decided to take a trainee, and they include Sledmere, Godolphin, Kitchwan Hills, and a number of other major farms. And Three Bridges in Victoria is also on board.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, We had a great response from farms. You know, most farms are always keen to find new employees. So when someone says, you know, we've got a potential employee for you, you know, most people are very keen to hear a bit more about it. But one of the things that was important to us, and you know, there is a mixture of sort of very big farms and some mid-sized farms that are sort of involved, is that we felt confident that they all, firstly, they all expressed an interest in taking a trainee when we announced that we were going to do this program. So they reached out to us, and they all came on board and really embraced the idea that this is a traineeship. You know, the trainee coming to their farm isn't expected to be a complete article. You know, it's very much bringing these people through, giving them experience on different aspects on the farm, and helping them to develop their career and develop their skills. So that was very important for us when we were looking to place these students.
How long do these traineeships go for?
So basically, there's a commitment of a year, and at the end of that year, the students don't sit an exam, as it were, but they are assessed in the workplace. And at the end of the year, if they pass their assessment, they will have a Certificate 3 in horse breeding. And that's a sort of apprenticeship level course.
And are you expecting there'll be bigger groups over the coming years that take part in this, and there'll be more farms that get on board?
Absolutely. So, you know, this year was a real push to get this course up and get it up in a time frame that allowed the students to be on the farms this year and during this breeding season. Before we even announced this course, we were in discussion with TAFEs, not just in New South Wales, but across the country. In fact, I think we had discussions with 4 TAFEs in Victoria to see if they were interested in the traineeship and running the traineeship there. None of those TAFEs were able to work within the time frame to get it up this year. Those conversations are continuing, and I think it's very important. Yeah, 15 is a great start this year, but you know, really, we need to be rolling this course out so it's in other states, and we're getting bigger intakes, because you know, we do have a significant industry, so you know, we need to be constantly bringing people in. And I think one of the things that was really pleasing about it was we had a very small period of time to attract these trainees to the course and get them to apply. But you know, we had, as I say, we had over 100 people apply for it. So I think there are people there. We just need to pitch, to market ourselves in the right way. And I think there are people there who will take up those positions.
What will be the timing of the next intake for this, Tom? And if anyone should want to apply to take part, what should they do?
Okay, well, in terms of timing, again, that's a kind of conversation to have with the TAFE, because it's important that, you know, staff get to see all aspects of life on a farm. So, you know, these students are obviously getting there. They'll have just under a month before the breeding season starts to find their feet. So, look, we potentially could take an intake sort of at the start of 2019, and then again another intake sort of similar time frame these students have started. So we're looking at those options. But look, if anyone is interested, they should go to the TBA site, Thoroughbred Breeders Australia site. So that's tbaus.com. And the Fast Track program is all the information on this current program is there, so you get a feel for what's on the course. And anyone interested should email careers@tbaus.com for more information. I'll be happy to discuss and keep people in the loop as to when we've got our next intake starting.
A welcome introduction to the breeding industry and a way of encouraging more people to take up employment in this sector of the thoroughbred industry. So, Tom, thanks for joining us on the program this morning.
No, thank you so much for having me on.
And I've no doubt there'll be some fantastic case study examples over the years to come. Lanook Studs O'Lonro continues to perform well at stud, and this week he produced a couple of very exciting winners, a good yarn at Geelong and a young horse by the name of O'Torto Crandon. Neville Murdoch from Lanook joining us on the program this morning. How are you, Neville?
I'm very good, Joe. Yourself?
Very well, thanks. Oh, Lonro keeps turning out good winners.
Yeah, look, he's seriously, he's very, very underrated, and I'm sure you hear that all day long, but if you look at his stats and everything else, he is very, very underrated. He goes very well, and certainly off low mares as in numbers. Like, he's only averaged his 40-odd a year, and the last couple have been quite tough for him, but just about every one of them runs. I think he runs nearly at about 61 or 62% winners to runners ratio, so which is as good as any stallion, probably.
Sure is, and he stands for only $5,500.
Yep, it's a pretty tough game, Joe, as you would imagine, and I'm sure you've heard about it before, but I don't quite know how you fix a problem up in this industry in a lot of ways. He is a good horse, and the other three that we've got as well, like, they all do a very, very good job, and we've got young ones coming through off our other stands as well, but Lonnie in particular, like, he seriously throws two-year-olds right through to 5 and 6 year olds. You know, that one of the one in Melbourne last week, I think, ran fourth by memory over 2400 or something. So he certainly knows how to put a horse on the ground and go all distances and race on until they're 6 year old. So we're very, very, very happy with him.
It's a funny thing. Sometimes the lower the service fee, the less likely sometimes people are to take up bookings. It's a funny mentality, isn't it? Is that the challenge you find?
Yes, it's actually, you make me laugh a little bit, Joe, because before I come into this industry 17 years ago, I was in the car industry. And I remember one particular day, just quickly, was that we advertised the car, I can't remember the exact price anyway, and we couldn't sell it, so we said, oh, it's probably too cheap, so we put $5,000 more on it than sold the next day. So you are spot on. And look, saying that, Joe, in all fairness too, because I have stay-ins, and I was only saying that about that mayor of Otorto, Greg Urell, said to me the other day, he said, Neville, he said, I can't believe that you don't get more horses to that stay-in. He's just a super horse. Every one of them we've had has gone so well. And I said, yeah, Greg, it shows you how clever I am. I said, Otorto's mum has been to, I love the city, it's been to Cluster and it's carrying a Cluster. I said, this year, it'll go back to Olondo. So, look, I'm as bad as anyone else, but saying that, I've got some stay-ins that need supporting, and it is pretty tough, you know.
So what are his bookings looking like for this spring?
Look, at this stage, without going over the top and being stupid, I think we've probably got about 15 to him. But for our business, for Lanook Stud, we've got a lot of breed-to-race type people, so you don't see too many get sold. Most people breed to race them, and seriously, they're not even thinking about breeding yet because there's no real foals on the ground. So, you know, we putter all the way through, right through to the end of November, December, when horses get broken down on tracks and late services, et cetera, et cetera. So I think you'll have a very good year. I'm pretty happy with the way he's going at this stage.
Tell us the background of the two-year-old Otorto.
Well, we all have little dreams, Joe, and that was one of mine. I was chasing around for a night shift mare and I could not find one anywhere. And that come up through the sales. And I think by memory, I paid $800 for a dry from a sale. And she's actually by strategic out of a night shift mare. And I thought, well, that's as close as I'm going to get. So I bought her. And she went to Lonnie. And look, we all dream, and mine's as good as anyone else's dream. But we think he could be something a little bit special. The race he had at Cranbourne the other day was a little bit surprising for us, but he certainly come home well, and Greg tells me that he's jumping out of his skin and he's still a little bit of a boy, and he's just turned 3 now, and his intentions at this stage is going to Flemington next Saturday. So hope you're listening, Greg. Don't be scared. So we'll see.
That is very exciting and a good yarn. What's his future looking like? He's a 5-year-old gelding by Alonro.
Yeah, exactly. And I think he's, by memory, I think he's won 4 or something out of his last 5. Merv's quite patient with him. She's not a big mare. Dr. Angus McKinnon from Golden Valley Hospital, he breeds to Lonnie just about every year. And I think that's her second one to Lonnie. And Angus spoke to me last night and said, she's coming back again this year. Yeah, Merv, just listening to his interview and going via Angus, he's certainly on the march to town. But that was, I don't know if you've seen the actual race or not, Joe, but that was very, very impressive.
Oh, that's terrific news, and nice to have the backing of someone like Angus McKinnon too.
Oh, yeah, look, Angus has been a personal friend, and he does all our vet work here and has been for the 17 years that I've been here. And so, yeah, very good bloke, does a good job. And even Merv, look, Merv does a superb job. That little mare's got that horse, Little Thread, and I can't remember the other good horse he had out of it too, but that I think that even Merv mentioned it yesterday. He actually had the car at Mooney Valley night meetings there for a week. So, you know, it's been a very good mare for Angus and Merv. It's been very good for him. So, yeah, a little bit to look forward to. So we'll get the phone rattling, hopefully, and do a bit more marketing and hope it all goes on from there.
Neville, outside of Olonro, how's the rest of business at Lynook Stud going?
Oh, look, it's tough enough without talking garbage, but certainly Cluster's trickling along okay. This is his fourth season, but we sold a couple through the sales. I think one made $72,000, which Henry Dwyer's got now. Greg Urell's got a couple. Brian Guy's got a couple up in Queensland, so they're all round the place. And if we keep dreaming, everybody that's had them and broken them in tells me that they're terrific. So let's hope they can get out and run. I don't think they'll be two-year-old, but we'll try and get maybe one or two going. But the typical Fastnet Rock. Wolf Cry's been a little surprise packet to us, so him and Honorius have got babies due this year. So we've got a fair bit happening here in the next few years, you know.
You sure have, and it's nice to see you getting a couple of decent winners by Olonro on the track. An underrated stallion, but maybe for not too much longer.
No, well, look, he's closely bred to I Am Invincible, and I keep, you know, we all dream again, I'll keep repeating that word, but I'd love to have had him 150 mares to him like I Am Invincible. Could have been a very interesting horse at this stage. So, no, look, we'll battle on and we'll kick along and hopefully he gets a couple of real good horses in town and people will start looking at him again.
Neville, as always, really enjoyable to catch up with you.
Terrific, Joe. Thanks for the call. Catch up with you. Bye-bye.
Neville Murdoch from Lynook Stud, their headline stallion Olonro, producing some handy winners this week. Horses to follow, one in particular, the two-year-old O Torto, and A Good Yarn continues on his winning ways. An important time of the year for Ngambie Swettenham stud Adam Sangster joining us on Talking Horses this morning. Fresh from welcoming to our shores a couple of their big-name stallions. How are you, Adam?
Good morning, Joan. Good morning to all your listeners. Yes, that's right, we did. We have had Toronado and Americane have been released on Swettenham. It came yesterday morning, and we've got the great Highland Reel is going to get released from that state-of-the-art quarantine centre at Tullamarine Airport on the 10th. So, yes, the bulls are all arriving around Australia.
How in particular was Toronado looking when he got off the plane?
Do you know what? He looked in magnificent order, and it's hard to say that he can improve, but he has. And he left Alsha Cab's operation in Deauville, Arasta Bugatot, and he was 600 kilos there. And Kian, our Irish gentleman who works for us, looked after him in quarantine. And he said when he left the ILT complex, he was just on 600 kilos. So he obviously enjoys it, and he's looking forward for it. But he's just a very, very strong horse. So you know, and he's had a remarkable week at Goodwood this week as well, and around France.
Yes, a very impressive winner over six furlongs. A horse called Watan, which is out of a Group 1 winning Thunder Gulch mare.
That's right, and it's funny enough, my brother Sam Sangster had a runner in the same race, and he phoned me up and he said, gosh, we ran fourth, and we thought we were definitely a group horse. So Richard Hannon, who trains Watan on behalf of Alsha Cab, is going to, I mean, he said he was so impressed with this horse, it just kept on giving, and his striking looked like Toronado. So, and of course, Toronado won the Sussex Stakes at Goodwood, where Watan won, and you know, that's where Toronado was sort of crowned champion miler, world miler, should I say, Longines world miler. But this horse Watan is in 2 weeks' time is going to go to the Prix Mornay at Deauville, over 1,200 metres. So that's a Group 1, and that would be great to get that chink on his armour.
And overall, he's had a cracking season on the track in Europe.
He has. He's had 6 winners, and just last week he got beaten the Shorthead, or one of the fillies got beaten the Shorthead in France in a listed race. So he's got a black type place getter, and you know, with 132 now 2-year-olds here in Australia, he's got every chance. So and he himself has already surpassed his bookings from where they were last year, because I mean, he sold so well. I mean, just with 45 yearlings represented at Melbourne Premier, he sold 6 times service fee. Top price was $375,000, and they've all gone into very good yards. So people recognise that fourth year is a little bit of punt, but Joe, we're all dreamers, we're all punters, and you know, you can negotiate a little bit better than 20,000 to get into the horse, and you know, for all we know, this time next year or the year after, he certainly won't be standing. Hopefully, at the figure you can get into at the moment. So we're very confident on the horse.
He's a very good-looking horse, Adam, apart from having been a high-class racehorse. How strongly, in your view, is he stamping his progeny thus far on type?
Yeah, that's a good question. They're all peas in a pod, and I think the market took that seriously into consideration, that he really is upgrading his mares, and they're such good movers. I mean, he himself has got extraordinary muscle definition himself, and you know, it's from a very strong sort of Australian family, with sort of a Rightfully Yours and sort of a Lady Bird Blue down in the Third Dam, but he himself, Toronado, obviously being by High Chaparral, and High Chaparral at the moment are absolutely just gunning it as Sarah's size. And he, Toronado, is out of a Grand Slam mare, so that's where the speed comes from. And he himself won three unbeaten 2-year-old races himself, and his third start was a Group 2. So, we're very happy to have him back here again.
And Highland Reel has been inundated.
Highland Reel really has, and it's just that great cross, that Galileo over Dane Hill, and of course the Blue Blood pedigree, Blue Hen from down here. So it's out of that Havinger mare, the Dane Hill mare, and she herself has, produced not only Highland Reel but Idaho Group One placing, Group Two winner, and full brother the other day just came second in a Group 2 2-year-old race. So, you know, Highland Reel was a high-class 2-year-old, having won the Vintage Stakes at Goodwood, and went on to win 7 Group 1s in 3 different countries. And, you know, he's standing at a very good introductory fee at 15,000 plus GST, and he's surpassed. He's over 160 at the moment.
And people will be able to cast an eye over him before too long at your open day.
Yeah, that's right. So we have our open day in Concertina with Darley. Our stud gates open on Sunday the 19th of August at 10 in the morning. And really the stallion parade will start at 10:30 sharp. And then some guests will head across to Darley. And obviously a lot of guests can go and enjoy Mitchelton Winery, the sort of the chocolate factory there, or go and have a look at the Black Caviar statue in the Gambie, and enjoy the surroundings. But we had a fantastic night last night. I've got to say, Joe, at Mitchelton with the Melbourne Cup, the 2018 Melbourne Cup being here, and Brian Martin was presenting it, and you know, 150 people came for a great event. And downstairs at Mitchelton, you've got this amazing commercial Aboriginal art operation. So it was a great night and great for the region.
It's a lovely time of the year around your region, Adam, with spring just around the corner.
Yeah, that's right, and we're really anticipating the arrivals of the Rebel Danes. You know, he was such a good racehorse himself, so that's going to be very exciting indeed. And so, yes, spring is just around the corner, Joe, and very exciting.
Yeah, and in Thoroughbred Breeders Victoria news, interesting to see the announcement of the search for a new executive officer. How's that hunt going at the moment?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we've had a great sort of Great response, but it's hard to fill Patrick Clancy's shoes and Jess Moody's, but there will be someone out there, and if this just gives someone a great opportunity for a career in the industry, and we're probably looking for a sort of a someone who certainly knows the breeding aspects of it and racing and the characters involved. But it'll be working out of Racing Victoria and the Thoroughbred Breeders of Victoria office there, and obviously guided by James O'Brien, the president, and committee, which there's 10, 12 of us on there, which to help out that person. But certainly Patrick and Jess are helping with the handover, and it's someone out there who's looking for a career in racing and who knows, and breeding, who knows a little bit about it. Mm. It's a plum job.
And should anyone listening be a possible recruit or interested, what should they do, Adam?
Yeah, totally. But you should just go onto the TBV website and apply from there, and Patrick Clancy will do the interviews, and then of course it will be shortlisted into the committee of the subcommittee will look at that, but go through there. But we do encourage people to apply, and it's certainly someone it's a great position, put it that way.
Mm. All right, Adam, lovely to catch up with you, and enjoy the next few weeks as you count down to the big open day. I know how excited you get about that. It's one of the brilliant days on the racing calendar in Victoria.
Oh, thank you, Joe. And, we'll have a little bit of entertainment in the morning as well. Someone who's been belting out those ads on RSN, maybe doing a little bit of an introduction at around about 10:30 and help cooking the barbecue. I've just been... Sunday morning, go and taste some of those Avenel meat sausages, which we've got. So a bit of a sausage sizzle with a very, very great booming voice of going to be...
Kekka.
Oh, that's the one. Good on you, Joe.
All right, Adam, great to catch up.
Thank you for that.
Adam Sangster from Swettenham Stud, welcoming the arrival of Americaine and Toronado over the past couple of days, and soon enough, Highland Reel. His much anticipated arrival in Australia is also on the horizon. Glen Eden Stud has become one of the burgeoning properties in central Victoria. They will now stand Bon Orum, Illustrious Blue, and Italian champion Scintillo. And another addition to the ranks is the well-known stallion Al Samer. Sonia O'Gorman joining us on the program this morning. She heads up the Glen Eden operation. Sonia, you're very busy these days.
Yes, it's incredibly busy, to be honest. I literally don't stop. I don't have any rest, but I'm very excited about what's happening and really enjoying it.
Well, the big news in recent weeks was Ken King deciding to send a Bon Orum your way. What a great addition.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that. Just the fact that he's a Group 1 winner, such a tough racehorse and a magnificent-looking individual, I think I'm very lucky to have him standing here.
How's the level of interest been ahead of the season?
Yes, good. He's only actually been sort of advertised maybe, a week now, 2 weeks. So we've had quite a good response from that. Unfortunately, he has been advertised incorrectly in the Victorian Stallions Book as 2,000. He's actually 5,500, just to let people out there know. But he's still great value at that price. He's the only Group 1 freshman sire in Australia standing at that price. So, the interest has been good. This weekend, we've actually had quite a few visitors to come and look at him.
Mm, and they're likely to convert into people that are going to send mares his way?
I believe so. So far, the reaction's been great. I mean, I know myself as a breeder. I obviously breed my own mares, and when I went to look at him, because I wasn't prepared to stand him unless I liked him, and I was very, very happy when I saw him. He's a lovely-looking individual. So when people look at him, he's got the presence, he's got the strength, the scope. He's just a really nice horse. So, yeah, when people look at him, they certainly... we'll send mares to him, I have no doubt.
Mm. And how's he letting down at this early stage?
Yeah, he's getting there. I obviously took his rug off this morning, gave him a big brush for the people to come and look at him, and he's started to put on weight. But he's taking... obviously, he's only been out of work a few months now, and he's not quite looking big and stallionish yet, but he's certainly getting there, and he's feeling very good, that's for sure.
And what's his temperament like?
excellent. He's a little bit cheeky, typical colty, bit cheeky, bit bitey, but he's a good boy. He's good to handle. Yeah, do everything with. He's been excellent.
A very interesting story to emerge during the week regarding Gleneden stud, Sonia, was the recent arrival of Al Samir. Al Samir once stood at Emirates Park. He's had an interesting life and history at stud. How did he end up in your hands?
Well, this is quite an amazing story, really. So, literally, I received a phone call from a gentleman, and he said to me, I've bought a stallion and I'd like to know if I can stand him at your place. And I was sort of a bit taken back. And I actually said, is it a thoroughbred stallion or an Arab? I wasn't sure what sort of stallion he meant. And he said, no, it's a thoroughbred. And, you know, he was a really good racehorse and talked about him. And I said, OK, well, what's his name? And he said, Al Samir. And I obviously felt like I had to clean my ears out. And I said, excuse me, what did you... And he said, Al Samir. And I said, the Al Samir. And he said, yes, I've bought him. I bought him on auction. And I was like, oh, my goodness. And I said, yes, of course, I'm more than happy to have him here. So basically, he's bought him on online auction. And he's a gentleman from Dubbo who wants to basically breed his own racehorses. And he's very excited about the venture. It's something he's always wanted to do. And he wants to leave the stallion here. I explained to him, because I thought, oh, he doesn't really know a lot, and I was worried that he might not realise what he was getting into financially. So I sent him a big email explaining the entire negative side of the whole situation, and he rang me and was so excited and thankful that I was so honest, and said that the stallion's not going anywhere else. He wants him to stay with me, and, yeah, he wants to support him with his own mares and, you know, do the best by him. So... really great.
It's very pleasing to hear he's in your capable and caring hands, Sonia, because there has been a dark side to his story and journey to you. He went via the Apple Isle. Tell us what happened there.
Okay, so when I got this phone call about Alzheimer and I asked him where he was, he said he was in Tasmania, and I thought that was interesting because he did actually stand in Victoria last year at a place called Ridgeview Park, and I think he... He only got four mares last year, and they believed he wasn't a commercial option for them. So Emirates still owned him, and they chose to sell him, and they sold him to someone in Tasmania. So he went over there. So when we were tracking him down, I rang the transport company that I deal with in Tasmania to find out whether they knew where he was, and they hadn't transported him, but they felt they knew where he was. So they rang them, and sure enough, that's where he was. Unfortunately, it wasn't a very nice home for him. It was south of Hobart, snow, and basically on a mountain, which was, they call it goat country. And I believe he wasn't rugged. He was out in the paddock. They weren't there during the week. They were only there weekends, and he wasn't really fed very well. So the poor boy was having a bit of a hard life. And I believe that the people who were handling him there were scared of him. They believed he was a nasty horse and an angry horse, and they just wanted him off the property. The truck driver went and got him and picked him up and brought him back to Hobart and put him in a yard with grass, and evidently he just put his head down and didn't stop eating the whole time. And then they brought him over within days, and I've had him in the paddock here, and he did turn up. I can't say he was RSPCA case, but he certainly looked like an old mare that had been on the hills for 6 months. He certainly didn't look big, round and fed and beautiful like he does in his photos. So we've been feeding him, rugging him and giving him some tender, loving care. And to be honest, he's the most beautiful horse. He's like an old gelding. He will come up to you in the paddock and put his head on your chest for a scratch. And, you know, he's beautiful to handle, and he's just a lovely horse. I think he's very happy to be where he is now. Yeah.
Very sad what can happen to these stallions, and there's a lot of focus in the racing industry, especially nowadays, on the welfare of racehorses post their track careers. But what is being done for these stallions? Because it's quite extraordinary and very sad, the journey that he's had, and it sounds like he's lucky to be alive.
I do know the stud, I don't know the stud personally, but I know where he came from. They did have another stallion there too, which also died of, I believe, colic, and I believe they had the season before, a 10 mares and foals die of similar things. So they're obviously not very knowledgeable in regards to looking after horses, and stay-ins are a very specialty area. Obviously, it takes a lot of skill and a lot of know-how to handle a stay-in, because they are obviously not just quite normal horses. So I think there really should be something in place or something done about monitoring stay-ins and, you know, people who are looking after them perhaps somehow monitor their expertise with doing so. Because although they may, you know, the intentions might be all fine and good, if they don't have the knowledge to do it, it can end up being quite cruel for the horse.
Gee whiz. It's a very lucky horse that he is, Al Samir. So how has he recovered since arriving with you? Has there been rapid improvement in his general condition and demeanour?
Yes, so he has already, he's putting on weight already. He's only been here, I would say, I'm trying to think now, not even a month, I don't think. He's rapidly putting on weight. We've had his teeth done, had his feet done, you know, drenched him, all that sort of stuff. And he's loving, he's really enjoying his life, you can tell. He's very happy, loves his food, obviously. And, yeah, certainly letting down. And he's starting to lose a lot of his coat, just starting to start to look like a healthier horse. And he's so relaxed. Like, we were told, or the farm told us where he came from, that they had to take all the horses off the farm because of him, because he was so silly and what have you. Well, I've got him in a paddock. I can see him outside my window right now. And he's only two paddocks away from my mares that are looking at falling down, and he's grazing, not even blinking an eyelid. Fine. He's relaxed, happy, and having a nice life at the moment. Yeah.
Frankly, it sounds like they had absolutely no idea what they were doing, from horse handling right through. You wonder how they're even in business, to be frank with you. It's very disappointing.
I find it very difficult in the industry. People with no knowledge and no experience and can do whatever they like with these animals, and they're living, breathing animals with feelings and what have you, and, you know, they often end up being cruelly treated. Even if it's unintentional, it still happens, and it's not good.
Yeah, well, what it highlights is something that's been simmering away in my mind, and I'm sure that of many in the thoroughbred industry, is a bit more focus on the welfare of stallions beyond their own careers in the barn.
Yes, and I think a lot of stallions get forgotten because, you know, you get a horse like Al Samir, who's a fantastic racehorse, and he's produced four stakes winners, including a Group 3 winner. He doesn't deserve to be forgotten and treated like that. Even as a retired racehorse, he wouldn't be deserving of that. I think there should be, because once, you know, they're not commercial, as in, you know, the yearlings don't bring big money in the sale ring, you know, they're sort of forgotten about and people aren't interested in them anymore or looking after them or what have you. And I think that's a real shame, because there's a lot of really good, you know, stallions out there who were good racehorses who deserve a lot better life than that. So it would be good to put something in place.
The man that's picked him up for a very small amount of money online, he might have himself a pretty decent producer.
Well, we hope so. I've gone through, I like to try and help all my stallions on my property and support them and do the best by the owners. And I've been going through Al Samir's record of mares that he's received and looking for mares for him, as to what suits him to increase your chances of producing a good racehorse. And he is actually not that easy to match with often, especially with the Danehill bloodlines and what have you. So I would presume that a lot of what mares he's had in the past perhaps weren't best suited to him. But I'm happy to, you know, to look at people's mares and to analyse them, and we really want to get good matches with him to give him, you know, give him another lease on life and a good chance. And he's only served, I think it was 16 horses in the last 4 years. He's hardly had anything. So he hasn't had a chance to really perform on the track. So we're hoping to change that around a bit this year.
And what will he stand for, Sonia?
He stands for $2,000, including GST. So just a straight $2,000, which I think is a very, very good price for a stallion. You know, a group winner at 2 years of age, a sprinter, and also a producer of stakes winners and group winner. So I think that's a good price,
He's had a number of winners in Hong Kong as well.
Yes, he's actually done very well over there, believe it or not. Yeah, he has. He's done very well.
How are the rest of your stallions going? It was about this time last year that we interviewed you on the program and you were just getting into the stallion business. Now you're in really deep.
I can't believe it. I feel like I've got stallion written on my forehead because it's something that I've chased. It's something that's literally just come to me. But, yeah, I'm really loving it and it's quite exciting. So the other two stallions is Illustrious Blue and Centillo. So Illustrious Blue, I don't know if people remember, he ran in the Melbourne Cup, the Year Americaine one. He came ninth, but it was a very wet, rain-affected track, and the poor boy doesn't handle the wet. So he did actually do really well in that race. And he was bought by owners who have tried to support him to some extent, but, you know, had sort of, C-grade mares and hasn't had a lot. He's only got 24 foals on the ground. But he's had 10 runners for two winners. So, you know, at the moment his strike rates and the first runners were only last year. So he's actually, you know, starting, or early signs are that he's looking like he's, you know, got some, future there. And his foals are, lovely looking foals and excellent temperaments. So I'm hoping to get quite a few mares to him this year if we can. And he's actually, he's had a little bit of interest as well. And the owners have got a new lease on life on supporting him as well. So they're sending more mares this year than they were last year. So, because last year was a bit of a funny season for him because the farm he was at closed down and they had to urgently find him a new place. And he actually arrived here after the season started. So it wasn't really prepared or able to promote him or you know, get mares to him very easily. So,
yeah.
And the other one was Centillo, who has recently been bought by new owners. So the past owners, he was managed very poorly and they didn't really support him either. And he's only got 22 foals on the ground. And he's only had five runners for one winner. So, and that was a two-year-old winner. So hopefully he's showing, and he's only had C-grade mares too. So we're hoping that he might, you know, have some promise there as well. And the new owners are very keen. They're actually Chinese, and they're very keen to support him. They've bought quite a few nice mares that will be going to him. And he's actually, him and Illustrious Blues actually have more bookings this year than they did last year. So it's looking promising at this stage.
Ah, good. Mm. And no doubt then you've had to continue to develop infrastructure around the property to cope with this influx of horses.
Yes. Well, that was one of the things when, especially with Alsamer and Bonorum both arriving practically, well, they both arrived the same week, and I was thinking, oh, my goodness, because where my house is and my mares are, my foaling mares are literally in my backyard and in the paddocks around me, and the stallions are in the next paddocks down, my colt paddocks, I call them, they're in the paddocks down, and obviously with more stallions, they're getting closer and closer, and when I was told Alsamer had to have all the horses taken off the property, I was, oh, my God, what am I going to do here? I was looking at putting up big, you know, fences that they couldn't see through and all this sort of stuff. Anyway, I thought, no, I'm just going to put them in and see how we go. Anyway, it's been absolutely fine. Alsamer is quite happy and relaxed. He has a look at the mares every now and then but doesn't do anything, just goes off grazing. And Bonorum, I'm not sure if he doesn't quite know that he's a stallion yet, but
he has, soon will.
Yeah, so he can see the mares and he sort of, for the first half day, he sort of ran the fence a little bit, and then after that, he's just gone, oh, okay, whatever. And he'll stand up there sort of close to them every now and then, but then he just goes off grazing and he's fine. He hasn't twitched, you know. Maybe that might change when he starts knowing what he's all about.
Yeah, but, I'm sure it will.
At the moment, they've settled in very well, so we haven't had to do anything like that. We are in the process of setting up a proper serving barn because we used to just do them in our yards at the top. But we figure with four stallions we're going to be a lot busier and we don't really want to be out in the weather doing it at all hours. So we're in the process of setting up an area, just to make it more comfortable for us, I suppose, to let that happen. Yeah.
Terrific. Well, pleased to hear everything's going so well for you, and we're very grateful to hear that Alsamer has a safe and comfortable home for life with you.
Yep, he's certainly has, and yeah, he's a lovely boy. I'm very happy to have him here. Actually, he's a pleasure.
Mm. Yeah, terrific. Good luck for the upcoming breeding season.
Thank you very much.
That's Sonia O'Gorman from Glen Eden Stud. They are now standing a number of stallions. Bonor in the most recent addition with Al Samur. What a story that is. Illustrious Blue and, of course, Scintillo. I hope you enjoyed this week's edition of Talking Horses. Thanks to our special guests this week, Neville Murdoch, Adam Sangster, Sonia O'Gorman and Tom O'Reilly. Until next time, take care. Bye for now.